Hello, lab experts. Once again, welcome to the Rock Diagnostics podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about leadership skills that you need in order to improve your life and also in order to improve your work as a medical laboratory scientist. And to do that, we're here today with Tawana Wilson, leadership consultant and also a medical laboratory scientist. How are you today, Tawana?
I'm doing well, Robertson. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to share with your audience.
Thanks a lot for being here. We're very excited to hear what you have to share with us. So tell us a little bit for those who are watching. Who is Tawana Wilson?
Well, as you know, I am a medical laboratory scientist, but first I am a wife and mom. Those are my most important titles. I lead a leadership development company. So I train medical laboratory professionals, such as those listening and watching this video today, giving you those leadership, those communication, those soft skills that you can use to excel inside and outside of the laboratory. I have nearly 20 years of medical laboratory experience. So I started off on the front line on the bench, and then I transitioned to leadership within 5 years, which at the time was unheard of. And I've been in some sort of leadership or supervisory capacity ever since. So I have had my share of medical laboratory experience with implementing new tests, standardizing across multiple hospital systems, leading numerous projects, serving as an inspector for regulatory functions. So I have done a lot in my career as a medical laboratory scientist.
Yeah, I can hear that. And speaking of your experience as a medical laboratory scientist, how did you get into the field?
It's funny that you asked that. When I got into this field, I thought I was on my way to dental school, actually. And so I said, I went to college, I was going to dental school, and I said, I need an undergrad major, but I didn't want biology or chemistry, because I said, what happens if I don't go to dental school? I come from a single parent household, first generation college student. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure who's going to pay for dental school, but that's where I'm going. And then I found medical laboratory science. So like most students or people that's in the medical lab profession, they kind of find it by happenstance. And I looked in the program book and I saw medical laboratory science. And it said that a career in this profession, we help people, right? We help people and not necessarily on the front line. I said, well, let me check that out. And so I talked to the dean of the college, and he was a medical laboratory scientist by background, and he gave it so much praise. I said, well, I think that's what I'm going to do. And I majored in medical laboratory science. I was the last one to receive that degree from Kentucky State University. And I never looked back. I let the dental school dream go because I didn't figure like who was going to pay for that, but I actually fell in love with this profession. And so I've been in it ever since.
Yeah. So eventually you just decided to stay within this field.
I did. And I tell you, I had some really great advice early on when I was doing my clinicals. I had one of the medical laboratory scientists, her name is Anne. And what she told me while I was going through clinical, she said, with a degree in medical laboratory science, you can do anything. She said, you're not just limited to working in a hospital, working on the bench on first, second, or third shift. She said, you can go and work for industry, such as a global research firm. You can work in academia. You can go and work for the instrument vendors. And because I heard that information early on, I knew that there were many routes that I can take. And because of that, I said, well, yeah, I'm going to stick with this. And I've been able to do different things since being in it.
Yeah. So you stuck to it. And I guess when you started working in a commercial lab?
Yeah, I started working at a hospital laboratory on third shift as a generalist in hematology and chemistry. I didn't do blood bank at the time in my first role, but I took the traditional route of working on the bench in a traditional hospital setting.
Now you say you got to leadership within 5 years. What happened there? What were the What did they see? What made them say, okay, she can help us?
Well, I have always been one of those type of people that's a go-getter. I knew early on coming up as a young girl that I would have a voice that would change the world. Now, I didn't know what that would look like, but I knew that I would have a voice that would change the world. And so what I would do is I was always very active in my community. And so I would take on community projects. So even though I was working and doing the things on my job, I was leading committees outside of work. So I was gaining those technical skills at the same rate as my leadership skills. And so when an opportunity became available, I was the natural best fit when it came available. So I worked for community groups where I was able to lead a committee. I was able to learn how to fundraise. I was able to run a meeting. And so I gained all of those leadership, communication, management. I learned how to do budgets because my committee had a budget. And so when the opportunity became available, then I was the right fit. So I want to share with your audience, and I post about this all the time, your degree, your certifications, those are the qualifiers, right? So when you read a job description, they want you to have the degree once you had a certification, but it's everything else. So your experiences, your skills, your leadership, your competencies, those things are the difference maker, right? And if you prepare and get those things before an opportunity come available, you too will be the natural best choice, right fit, right person at the right time for the right role.
At that time, when you switched, well, you had to switch from the technical position to a more leadership management role. What for you was the hardest area to sort of get used to? What was the biggest change that you had to go through?
Well, when you get into leadership or managing people, the focus is different. So when you're technical and you're a technical leader, your focus is mostly process or task driven, right? And your success most times is dependent on you as the individual contributor. Once you move to the people side of it, a people manager, a leader, administrative director, your success is based off of your people and your team. And so now you're moving from those hard technical skills to the soft skills, the emotional intelligence, being able to have active listening, having empathy. And so those are the skills that make you successful. For me, I've always loved people. I've enjoyed developing people. And so those were skills that I built on before even getting in the role. And I challenged myself to get into roles or positions or volunteer activity that made me uncomfortable. So for example, I led a group of women, retired women, for the Urban League, and we were part of their fundraising arm. And I served as their president. And so I could be most of their granddaughter. And so it challenged me to think how they think, right? Because when you are over people and in leadership, you have to be able to put yourself in different people's perspective in order to move the agenda of the organization or team forward. And so I was able to channel in, you know, what are they thinking? How do they adapt? And there's something to be learned from everybody. And so I was like, okay, we're doing social media. We're going to get our message out there. And they like, no, we're going to call people and we're going to send letters out. And so being around a group of people who's thinking was different from mine allowed me to gain those skills and think of different perspectives. And if you think about our workplaces today, we have over four generations working in the workplace. They all want different things. They all want different kind of feedback. They all react different to recognition and praise. And you have to be able to, when you're a leader, be a chameleon and adaptable to all of those styles.
So I guess you'd say that your volunteering experience was extremely important. As you were talking about that, I was remembering also to some of my volunteering experiences, some which maybe in some cases I may have even been a bit forced into. But I think as you were talking, I realized, yes, they probably helped me a lot. So would you say that's something you'd recommend for more people within our field to try and get involved in, like volunteering, helping out, getting in contact with more people around and in their community especially?
Absolutely. I would definitely recommend that people get involved, volunteer. One, start with the things that you are passionate about. So I'm passionate about students, our teens, our youth, but also I'm passionate about health particular causes, right? Alzheimer's, dementia. So there are plenty of activities for you to get involved with, but I would definitely say get involved with activities because that's where you can gain leadership experience and it's really at a low cost for you. And what I mean by low cost is that they are looking for volunteers. They're looking for people to serve their time and you don't have the pressure of having to meet a certain standard. So sometimes in the workplace, people don't volunteer for stuff because they're like, I don't know if I can meet the standard or what they're looking for. But with volunteer activities, I think you can gain some of your best leadership experience there. It's low cost. You're serving a good cause and a good purpose. It develops your character. And I truly believe that as leaders, as people, we are required to give back to other people.
Yeah. Now, aside from that, what other ways do you think medical laboratory scientists could invest in themselves and in their careers?
That's a great question. So we should always subscribe to lifelong learning. I read a study one time, and I'm not exactly sure where the study came from, but it said that most people don't invest in their learning outside of a formal education, meaning a college degree or certification, something like that. But there are plenty of ways to invest in yourself, whether that's reading books. So there's plenty of books out there that you can read. Audiobooks that you can listen to around your career, around leadership, around personal growth. If you're thinking personal growth, one of my favorites to get started with is John Maxwell's 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. That's a great personal growth book to get started with. So you could do that. You could listen to podcasts or watch podcasts if it's a video version. There you get quick bits of information so that you can take a few nuggets and apply. So you're here today. This is a great start to get you some nuggets of wisdom. So podcasts are great. Having mentors are great. A mentor is a non-negotiable. You really need to be able to leverage the experience of somebody else. That's how you fast track your success. Now, I have had plenty of mentors in my life, professional and personal mentors. And I'm telling you, it is really what has helped take me to the next level. Also, being involved on social media, believe it or not, social media is a good thing. And you can find experts on social media, depending on what you're interested in. So getting involved in masterclasses, masterminds, and small group training and coaching programs are very helpful to get targeted information to take you to the next step. And also, of course, webinars and all kind of online classes. But what I say is the difference maker, especially if you're getting information that's one way, a book, a podcast, online webinar, is to involve yourself in activities such as group coaching programs or masterclasses that allows you to be able to ask questions to the expert. That's what starts to take you to the next level. Sometimes one way communication is okay, but a lot of times people don't apply. There's no accountability. So we become consumers of information, but don't have action. And so that's what I would say. All of those routes are great routes. The most important thing is that you apply the information that you get, even if it's just one or two nuggets, hide the information that you get and diversify your information. So as a medical laboratory scientist, don't just get technical information and medical laboratory information. What has made the difference for me is I've learned how to build websites. I've learned how to do computer programming. I've learned how to do technical writing. I've learned copywriting. It has nothing to do with the medical laboratory, but it has helped me understand how people think. It has helped me understand how to influence people in decision-making. So I would say, you know, make sure that you are involved in things that are not just your trade or your expertise by background.
Yeah, I think, yeah, what you said is extremely important. I think maybe one of the issues is in our universities or even while we're growing up, the idea we have when we get in there is that everything we are ever going to need is going to be taught to us within those courses. And so once we are out, we don't really necessarily think about going in this direction or that direction, learning this new thing or that new thing. We think what we had learned is what we are supposed to be using for the rest of the time that we have, aside from what we learn on the job. And even in some cases, when we go and get these courses, we don't necessarily apply them later because we think, okay, I was there, I sat down, I listened to it. And so magically, it's going to transpire through everything I do. But usually that's not what happens. 1 year or 2 years later, you realize you don't even remember what it is you did within that course because you never applied it. And so, yeah, I think it's extremely important to do that and always try to apply whatever you learn and listen to podcasts, of course. Big one. So when it comes to personal lives, there are medical lab scientists that are always, well, I wouldn't say complaining because they are used to it, but used to the fact that when you're in the medical lab, you may have lots of situations where maybe it's holidays and then you can go to your family or you can be with them or you have night shifts. It becomes hard to sort of manage both. Are there ways you think people, or are there good tactics, or are there any tips you have for those who have those sorts of issues or problems?
So that's a really great question, Robertson. You know, in this field, since we operate 24/7, so our industry never closes, right? But what I challenge people to do is figure out what's important to you. So I always talk about developing your career roadmap and what's important to you, and understand that it will change at different times of your life, right? And so sometimes sacrifices have to be made as well. And so sometimes people say, well, I want the money. Well, if you want the money, sometimes that means working on the night shift. That could be working every other weekend. That could be working holidays and being away from your family. So you have to figure out what's important for you at the time, if you need day shift or, you know, need to be off on the weekends, and start mapping out what opportunities align with your vision for your personal life and for you at that stage. One, give yourself some grace because things change, right? So when I first started out, third shift was fine. I got the extra shift if I was working the extra holidays, picking up the overtime. Now, as a wife and mom, first shift is the shift for me. And working the extra is not, I can't do it at this stage of life. So, you know, I don't know if there's a true balance. There is a maintenance that's involved, but it starts with getting clear on your vision and getting clear on what's important to you so that you can start to align yourself with opportunities that's in alignment with that. Because there are organizations that provide laboratory testing that's not open on the weekend. Maybe that's working in a doctor's office that's typically open Monday through Friday, right? You may not get compensated as much, right? So you have to figure out, you know, what's important to you and understand there can be some sacrifices that go with that. Mapping out where you want to be and mapping out what's important to you, your values, your core, I think will help better align yourself with opportunities that's congruent with that.
So what you're saying is essentially be strategic with your decisions. Think about your goals and what it is you need at that point in your life and how much energy you have, because when you're younger, you, of course, have a lot more energy to invest in your job. And so you could have,
right.
you could go for the third shifts, you could go for the night shifts. But on the other hand, the older you get, the more there are responsibilities, the more there are things you need to take care of outside of the hospital. And so, of course, you have to review how you're going about things and then rearrange and rebalance things as your life goes on.
Yeah. Right. And that's okay. You have to be able to kind of prioritize that and understand that you're interviewing these organizations just like they are interviewing you. You have options today, right? So you have to make sure that the organization is in alignment with your core. So for me at the leadership level, I wouldn't be taking opportunities that wants me to work after hours, that wants me to, you know, be by my phone every single hour, because at this point in life, my daughter and my family is more important.
And I actually like that line when you talked about you're also interviewing the organization, because when you think about it, yeah, that's true. I think I heard it like a little while ago, but at a certain level, that's what you have to do. You need to be able to apply to different places and then see, based on what's happening in those places, what's the best fit for you? Because what may be the best place for me may not be the best place for another person, just because of the way things are structured in the work environment. So I've been in labs, for example, where, well, essentially things would be done differently moving from one lab to the other. So even something as simple as scheduling, the way the scheduling is done in one lab, I wouldn't really like it, but in another lab, it would be, I'd find it perfect. So you kind of have to move around and then see, based on the culture of the place, what's actually going to work in your own life. Now, one thing you talked about earlier that I think some people sometimes have issues with or don't necessarily know exactly what to, can't really put a finger on and understand what it's about, empathy and listening. How do you develop those skills?
Well, you got to practice. The only way you get better with listening and empathy is that you practice and you put yourself in situations that's uncomfortable for you. It's okay to have that pause. So, you know, sometimes we want to solve, as scientists, we want to solve people's problems and issues. And a lot of times they're not looking for us to solve anything. They only want us to listen, right? So listening, not to respond, but to understand. And that's one of those empathy and listening is one of those things you have to practice. I'll tell you, before I had my daughter, I thought I was empathetic to struggles of working parents until I was actually in that place, right? And so I could be as empathetic as I could without that experience. But it's totally different when you are walking in those shoes. So you have to get yourself in positions in which you're able to utilize those skills. So that might be something you read about it, you learn about it, and you apply and you keep applying and you keep putting yourself in positions that allow you to be empathetic, allow you to be a great listener, allow you to be compassionate, allow you to be caring.
Yeah. So yeah, becoming a parent helped you with that. Now, you've said this already twice. You said it's important to put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable and that they allow you to grow. Can you share with us any ones, like in your case, that situations that were uncomfortable, but then allowed you to get out of there better than you were before?
Absolutely. So there are times when I'm in groups in which I am part of the majority. So I am in a sorority, it's a global sorority, and most of the women look like me and they are educated and think like me. So that's a situation in which I am in the majority, right? And so I am comfortable in that space. But in the laboratory and leadership and really in healthcare, most of the time, the people at the director level and above do not look like me and do not have the same life experiences as me. And so I constantly put myself in situations in which, one, I am in the minority of the thinking of the experiences, right? And so when I grew up, there was a time that I and my mom were in a homeless shelter, right? And so that at that time, you know, I had that opportunity. And so now when I'm in situations and we're talking about indigent care and we're talking about people that have less than, I had that experience previously. So I know what that feels like, right? And so putting myself, when I'm in a situation now and I have a house, right? I have, you know, the means to live and not depend on others, but putting yourself in situations in which you are the minority, not just in the way that you look, but in the way that you think, in the education that you have. I'm also in groups where people are have more education than me, right? So I'm learning from them. And so getting yourself in positions in which you're not always around people who think like you, who look like you, who act like you. That's the only way that you really start to think different and be different, is if you're in that, you know, situation where you're different. And that's why I talk about volunteering. Some of the causes that I work with, those people don't look like me either and don't think like me and didn't come from the same background as me. But it allows me to learn so much about, okay, I didn't think about it from that perspective. Or, you know what, that's a great idea. And so when people want to challenge themselves, that's why I love the community. I love volunteering, because it's a great way to get exposure. If you don't have kids, go volunteer with a school, right? Now you're starting to think differently, because that's not your normal environment. If you are not experienced with communicating with people that are much older than you, but you want to be able to influence and adapt, just say, you know, people that are retired or what would be considered elderly, then go volunteer for groups that affect that population. And that's how you begin to start thinking different and making your experiences diverse.
All right, I see. So always make sure that you get into situations where you're meeting new kinds of people, people that are thinking differently from you, because that's going to help you, of course, expand your perspectives, expand your knowledge, and also expand the way you see things around you.
Absolutely. Because you don't learn that in a book, right?
Yeah.
You don't learn people's experiences in a book, right? You don't learn that necessarily from sitting in a classroom. You learn that from talking with other people, from being in environments with other people, from being at dinner tables with other people that look different from you, act different from you, have differences in environments. You know, one thing here in the States, we have a lot of people that are in the military. And so when you have people in your laboratory that have traveled all around the world, it's always interesting to hear some of their perspectives, especially if you've been at your laboratory for your whole career. You think the way that you do things in your lab is the only way, until you have somebody that's been in the military and lived in different countries, been in different parts of the area. And now with our huge population of traveling medical laboratory professionals, you're starting to see people that are different, and they have been in different labs that have been at different places of their operation, meaning that some labs have been stagnant, some labs have implemented a lot of new technology and processes. There's a lot to be learned from the experience of others as well.
Yeah, and as you were talking about that, I was thinking about the difference, for example, out here between what you see being done in medical laboratories in other countries and what's being done in your country. Sometimes you realize that, so for example, down here, things that are being done maybe differently because there are problems along the way. And so the processes have to be changed. You have to think about things creatively in order to solve your problems. And so it's also helpful to even do a bit of research online already. Even through that, you kind of get a general idea of what's different and what's happening differently in other places.
Right.
Yeah.
The technology is different, and what may be plaguing that community could be different than from what's happening in your particular area. I'm in Ohio, USA, which is the Midwest, and what's happening here in Ohio could be very different than what's happening on the West Coast in California, or on the East Coast in New York. So I think that's why it's important to get the experiences too from other people, even if you're not able to get into those experiences yourself.
So tell us, is there anything particularly important you'd really like to share with the audience today, aside from what we've been talking about?
Absolutely. So as medical laboratory professionals, the single most important thing that I can tell you to do is to invest in yourself, invest in your growth. Think about your growth and the investment in yourself like investing in the stock market, right? So the only way for your stocks to grow and develop is that you continually invest. And it's the same way with your leadership, with your personal growth. You don't just wake up and grow. You have to commit to making that investment in yourself. You're definitely worth it. And you should do it. And I say that because sometimes as medical laboratory professionals, we wait for our employers to invest in us, right? To give us that opportunity. What happens if the opportunity never comes from your employer? So that's why it's important for you to invest, just like you did with your college degree or getting that certification, in your growth and development. And when you do, and when you choose opportunities that's in alignment with your vision, your core values, the world will be endless to you. You will be able to go anywhere and do anything as long as you are investing in your growth and development. That is the difference maker.
Yeah, like you said, it's extremely important to invest in yourself because your job wouldn't necessarily do it, because if you're giving them everything they want to, they don't know, they may not know what your aspirations are, where you want to go in life. You're the only one who knows that. And so you're the only one who knows what you need to invest in order to get to those places. So you can always just count on the organization, especially that some organizations may be constrained also financially, or may not want to spend financially on one aspect or the other, but that you believe you need. And so at that point, you need to go ahead and figure out what it is you want and then go for it.
Absolutely. And sometimes the people that's in management or leadership, they don't know how to grow and develop others. Every manager is not a people manager. Just because they have the role or title don't mean that they know how to develop you as their employee. And so you have to take ownership of your career, of your next step. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't happen. Most of my experience, leadership, communication, and growth happened because I made a decision to make it happen. And I got the development outside of work. Work didn't start investing in me until I was in a management position. And by that time, if you're investing for the very first time, it's already too late.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that because myself, right, when you're talking about earlier that you learn to do some programming, you learn to do this, you learn to do that. I was thinking pretty much my case, it was also the same because I had some things I wanted to do. And then I realized, okay, the best way of doing them would be to learn like a little bit of graphic design, a little bit of programming, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And so you're able to stack those skills. And then you never know, like, usually it's every once in a while you see a problem in front of you. And just because you have that knowledge, you know how to solve it. And then you can solve it fast and then you can move on. Makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, as you move through leadership, you don't have to, or management, it's not that you have to do all of these things, but it's nice when you are aware of how these things work, because that way that helps with your delegation, that helps with negotiation, it helps with a lot of different things when you are able to have a diverse skill set as well.
So tell us, if anyone wants to get in contact with you and discuss various things, how do they do that? What's the best way of going about that?
So the best way to get in touch with me is on LinkedIn, Tywana Wilson. That is my social media of choice. Over there, I have a weekly podcast show called Leadership Tidbits with Coach T. Wilson, where I bring experts on similar to this, where you can learn some practical leadership skills. Also, you'll see the Elaborate Topics podcast. So if you are not familiar with that, it's a weekly laboratory podcast where myself and my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, bring you leadership and technical strategies. We have over 115 episodes that are out there for you to find. And so LinkedIn is the best choice, but if you are not on that platform, on any other platform, you can go to at Coach T. Wilson is my handle for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Coach T, T-E-E Wilson. And if you're interested in leadership training and development, then you can go to trendyelitellc.com. That's trendyelitellc.com. We have tons of free information out there, but we also have paid courses and content, because who you learn from matters. and you need to get yourself in a growth environment today if you're not in one already.
The skills you are going to learn are going to be helpful in the future. You never know when skills are going to come in handy. So something as simple as, for example, public speaking, something as simple as empathy, listening skills, building those, figuring out how to go out and volunteer. That's something you need to do in order to meet new people, learn how new people think. And that's always going to come in handy, because even as a medical laboratory scientist, you have to deal with people that are from all horizons. So you need to have a bit of an idea how to engage with people in order to make you, as you, a better laboratory scientist, and eventually get into management positions, a better manager, a better leader. Thanks a lot for being here with us again today, Taiwana. Thank you to everyone that's listening today. And hopefully we see you again next time to talk more MedLab. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.